everyone. My name is Steve Insko, and in our podcast today, I'm with Board Chair of the Escondido Chamber of Commerce, Deanna Smith. Deanna is also owner of, among other businesses, Deanna's Gluten Free. Hello, Deanna.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve, and good morning.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your vision.
My vision overall for the Chamber of Commerce is to get back to business, focus on small business. We need to get back to small business America and helping each other grow, because when we come together as a community, we are so much stronger.
And in that regard, what is the Chamber doing these days?
So we have refocused our plan of action for our small businesses. Community coming together in different settings, whether it's an educational seminar or a wonderful, exciting mixer or an annual event. There are many events on the calendar that range from education to networking.
Speak a little bit about some of those events, maybe the Green Expo?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we are putting together a Green Expo on April 20th, and it will be held at the Escondido Mall. We are focusing on things that are green and things that are better for our environment, whether that's a car. I believe that Tesla is going to be there. Grangettos will be there. EDI will be there. The school district will be there. There will be lots of other electronics and new technology to help our community, businesses, and homes be more efficient and just better for our environment.
That sounds great.
That is one of many events that we will be having on the calendar. For the Escondido Chamber of Commerce resources, we have many things on the schedule. Coming up next week, we have a tax seminar, both in Spanish and in English, and it helps small businesses understand taxes and possibly have this strategy to help them deal with taxes and know the gist of it and how what to expect. Since COVID, things have changed all over the world, and it was a very challenging time for our Chamber of Commerce, and we went through this time where we lost a lot of members because a lot of the Chamber offers events and networking. So when COVID was happening, we couldn't have those in-person events. Now we're getting back to more in-person events. And growing our attendance, and people are getting back to the groove of networking and coming together to see each other and greet each other and have conversations in our mixers. And we have a women's event coming up next week also. So people are excited, and the attendance has been overwhelmingly successful.
Mm-hmm. And that COVID problem happened probably to every chamber everywhere. And
yes.
Now we're all moving on from it. Like you said, it is maybe a bold new time. Maybe we want to think of it that way.
I agree. It is absolutely a bold new time, and we're making a lot of changes since COVID. And people are really appreciating the efforts that the Chamber is putting together. We have an amazing group of ambassadors and volunteers for all our events. And they are really focused on making sure things are happening. And the events that we have will be useful to our members.
So, Deanna, how did you come to be the board chair?
Well, that is a long road of a long time. So I would say just over 20 years ago, I had a marketing company on Grand Avenue, and someone had suggested to join the Chamber of Commerce that they would help my business. Well, that is absolutely true. If you join the Chamber of Commerce, they can help your business. But a large part of it is what you put into all of your efforts. As most business people know, you can't just open your door and expect people to walk through and spend a lot of money. You have to put a lot of effort into everything you do, especially when you're a small business, because sometimes you're a one-man show, sometimes you have a small army, but overall it comes down to the efforts that you put into anything that you do, whether you're a business person or a basketball player or a scientist. You have to focus on whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. So to answer your question, how did I get here? A long road. I signed up as a member, and I just signed up and I thought, well, they're just going to send me a ton of business. Well, that didn't happen. So I started paying attention to their events and I started showing up to their events. And then eventually they asked me to become an ambassador. And this was probably a year into my membership. And once I became an ambassador, you're signing up to do something extra because you're now representing the Chamber of Commerce and your business. So that really helped me. It catapulted me into the chamber involvement. And so you sign up and you go to all of the events, you go to all of the ribbon cuttings, you meet so many people. And it really opened my eyes to, wow, if you are representing the Chamber of Commerce and your business, that's like a double advantage, or it's like a double, you know, two for one, or double your money, or I don't know what.
Yeah,
it's a situation where you're putting in the effort. You should show up anyway, but now you're an ambassador, and you get to wear this little tag. I was just so proud of getting my little tag that said Deanna Smith, and I had a marketing company at the time, and it said marketing and ambassador of the Chamber of Commerce, and I thought, wow, this is really cool. I felt like I was going to make a difference for myself, for the chamber, for my business. And I got to know a lot of people. I got to know a lot of people in the community. And as an ambassador, it kind of elevates your status in what you're doing. Because anytime you say, I'm an ambassador of this, that, or the other, people look to you to say, okay, you have signed up to do extra. And you are going to do extra. And when you do extra, it just feels like you get extra. So that's where I started. Eventually, I became very busy in my business, and I stepped back a little from the ambassador position. But I was still doing a lot of things for the chamber. Fast forward to 2007-08, when we had a hard time economically. I had the marketing company, but I had also started my bakery, which is another story altogether. But and I got so busy at the bakery that I just needed to step away from all of the extra things that were taking up my time. I was growing my business, and so my new business was taking me to different places like Florida and Chicago and Boston. So I was traveling quite a bit. And so I didn't have a whole lot of time other than to grow my business, all the while still a chamber member and still doing lots of other things in my community, like Rotary. And I was on the board of the Children's Museum. So I was doing all these things to help my community as well. And then my business was pretty self-sufficient. I grew a team that was very competent and very skilled. So I was able to step away after a few years and get back involved into the community. So I was invited to be on the Chamber of Commerce board. And so one thing led to another, and a couple of years now, here I am as the chair. So that's my story.
You said that you started a marketing company and then your bakery, and I know that now you have several businesses that you're doing. Have you always been an entrepreneur? Were you ever a barista at Starbucks or anything like a regular job?
I did have regular jobs, and the funny thing is it just didn't really work for me. My mind was always wandering. I always had these thoughts and was always distracted. I have worked at a medical office, in a law office. I worked for a plumbing company. I have worked in several different jobs where I was sitting at a desk and I had to do a particular task, and there was a small variety of tasks all day long. It just didn't feel like this is where I was supposed to be.
Well, that's very interesting, because having started a business or two myself, I know that you are more than involved in it. This is at a level that is way past a regular 8-to-5 job, and you never take a vacation. Everything you give all the time. You're working the business, but you're looking for business all simultaneously, all the time.
Yes.
And you have to love being an entrepreneur in order to do this. So is that built into you?
It is ingrained in us. It's in our DNA. If all of those entrepreneurs out there that are listening to this are shaking their head, we just can't help ourselves. It just is something. It's the fire in your belly. It's your brain is going nonstop. There's just thoughts and ambitions that are within us that we just have to act on. Otherwise, we're just like we're just have to sit on our hands. That doesn't last very long.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be a lazy person and want to be an entrepreneur.
Yes.
You don't even think about it. You just do.
Right. You're just so driven, mm-hmm. is the word. You're just so driven. You get this idea and you, for me, I get an idea and I try to, I get an idea and I try to work backwards. Like, mm-hmm. for instance, you said, yes, I do have several businesses, and I heard this term a while back and I think it applies to me and many people. I am a serial entrepreneur, and I just can't help it. I have a business as a baker. I have a bakery business. I have a tiny farm. I have a restaurant, and I have another product line that I created for my granddaughter. It's called Earth Dough. It's an allergen-free, gluten-free version of a kid dough, similar to Play-Doh. Everything is all natural. And those things just kind of come to you. I have a granddaughter, and she handed me a container of Play-Doh. And I looked at the container, and it says, contains wheat. And I said, who knew it contains wheat? Well, being the owner of a gluten-free baking company, it was just a no-brainer. I thought, oh my gosh, if Play-Doh has wheat in it, and I make an allergen-free, gluten-free version of it, then so many of my customers who have children could give this to their children and they could play with it and it'd be perfectly safe. That's how it happens. It's just in a moment, you realize the situation. If you can make the situation better, then we just have this drive suddenly, like, oh my gosh, this is new, or I can do this.
Yeah. You were saying that you work backwards, and I do know from hearing many other entrepreneurs that they do see the vision of where it's going to be eventually. They can envision the success of the entire thing long before they might get there. And if they can't envision that, they probably can't build the business, because they don't have the goal, the main goal.
Right.
Where to go. So it's interesting that you said work backwards from the vision, right?
Yes. Yeah, you just see it. It suddenly becomes this thing that you are focusing on that is in your mind. In your mind's eye, you see this thing that you're going to build. And it's a giant skyscraper, whether it's a loaf of bread that's gluten-free, whether it's organic crops or a greenhouse or earth dough or whatever it is. You see it like, I don't know, a shining light in the future.
Mm-hmm. So to bring this back to the chamber, it sounds like your philosophy of being an entrepreneur feeds through. Maybe the chamber almost seems to you like a fifth business as well, in a way. So where are we going with this? What are we going to do?
Well, I see the chamber as how I saw it 20 plus years ago. I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. My grandmother had a beauty salon in the middle of town, and it was a tiny little salon, and she had three chairs, And she had all of the ladies in town would come to her place. I got to go and spend a lot of time with her. And I learned a lot from her. And she helped me grow. I didn't even know she was helping me grow. I had responsibilities. I had to sweep the floor when I had to sweep the hair off the floor when she gave haircuts. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I washed the curlers when she was all done with them. And I would stack the curlers and I would organize things in the back room. And I didn't even know I was learning. She just helped me. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, my pay was I could go across the street to the corner market and I would get an ice cream every time I would go to my grandma's shop. Mm-hmm. And that was just like the thrill of being productive with grownups. And
so you didn't know you were building a strong work ethic. You
just no idea.
To you, it was fun.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming up. I got to spend time with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. I got to have adult conversation. People treated me like an adult, even though I was a little kid. And then I got a prize at the end of the day.
Of course. Yeah, the best part.
Yeah. So the sense of getting back to, what was the original question about the chamber?
Where are we going?
I want to do that for our business communities, mm-hmm. or I want to do that for our local businesses. I want them to feel like the chamber is here to help you grow mm-hmm. and to make sure that we can find the right resources for you to help you grow. Mm-hmm. It's a partnership. Yeah. If you show up and we have information to share with you and help you be a stronger business person in any way, shape, or form, then that's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. So I'd also like to talk about community mm-hmm. and how my community helped me grow in my bakery business. So after I had the marketing company on Grand Avenue, I eventually evolved into the bakery. I created a loaf of bread for my family who have to be gluten-free. It was an accidental business. I made a loaf of bread for my 3-year-old cousin. Actually, she was 3 years old at the time. She's now 21. I made a loaf of bread for her. She took it to preschool and people started calling me, "Where can I buy your bread?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, I don't sell my bread, but I'll make you an extra loaf on Sunday." And I started getting more and more phone calls. And that's when I said, "Well, this is strange. Let me do my homework and figure it out." Long story short, I opened a bakery. I had never baked a loaf of bread prior to this. So let alone have an industrial sense of making more than a dozen loaves at a time, you know, would be ridiculous. So many people in my community were hearing about what I was doing, and there is a French bakery on Grand Avenue. At the time, it was owned by a man named Tony, and he said, "Oh, I heard about your gluten-free bread. How is it going?" I said, "Well, it's a little challenging because my recipe needs some work, and I don't know how to do volume, and it's, you know, just this, that's my challenge." He's like, "Oh, well, come and talk to my bread baker and let's see if he can help you." Yeah. And I said, "Okay, well, thank you." So I went in and he showed me traditional baking. And I said, "Well, that's not, you know, gluten-free is completely different." And he's like, "It's okay. Bring your ingredients and we'll work together." And here is somebody in our community that is just offering their help. Mm-hmm. So long story short, he helped me understand yeast and rising and temperatures and different things that I would never think of. Mm-hmm. And then a step further, the owner of the shop said, "Well, what kind of ingredients do you need? I'm placing an order for whatever." And I said, "Okay." I gave him my list. And so a week later I come back and he's got these giant 50-pound bags of flour for me. And I thought, "Oh my gosh, what did I get myself into?" And he's like, "Well, you know, you get a better price and if you buy in volume, and here's my list and here are my purveyors, and let me know how I can help you." I would have never known what to do in that case if I didn't have somebody in my community helping me. Another story with my bakery growth is there was another guy who had many businesses and was well known. I'm not sure if you remember Tom DiAugusta. Mm-hmm. He had a couple restaurants, and I think he ran for mayor, or he was council. He was probably on the council many years ago. And he said, "Hey, I heard you're opening a bakery. I have a couple of friends who have industrial bakeries. Would you like to tour one?" I said, "Absolutely." So he set it up, and I went and talked to this industrial baker whose bakery was about 40,000 square feet. It was incredible. I learned so much. So getting back to how a community is so important to the success of an entrepreneur is, mm-hmm. without my community volunteering or helping me along the way, it would have been a harder road. It's a hard road no matter what to be an entrepreneur. But when you have a community coming together and offering their expertise and sharing their knowledge, it's incredible. And it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. And it was a game changer for me too.
Sure. So, Deanna, it's been great talking to you about all of this, and it's interesting to see where your vision is for taking the chamber in the future. And this is the first podcast of what we are planning to do as a series or a show periodically. Everyone, come back and see us again. We're going to have prominent leaders in the community, business folks, and many other interesting and fun subjects that we're going to have for you along the way. Thank you, Deanna.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. See you next time.